Today on The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe.
Today's message, I hope, gives you comfort and hope. God will preserve you. God will guide you. God's purposes will be accomplished in you. Keep your trust in the Lord. The just shall live by faith. Will you do this? Ask God for wisdom. Ask God for protection. Ask God for guidance.
Welcome to The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe, Senior Pastor of Calvary Church in Charlotte, North Carolina. The story of Christmas doesn't end with the manger. What happened next? And what does this teach us about God's sovereignty and provision? And how does that encourage us as we look ahead to the new year? To find out, let's join Pastor John Monroe as he introduces part two of his message, The Flight. Here's Pastor John Monroe.
Last time we considered what is often a neglected part of the Christmas story. Herod the Great was king at the time of the birth of Jesus. He saw Jesus, the King of the Jews, as a threat to his own kingdom, and he tried to destroy him. He was so wicked that he instructed all of the baby boys of 2 years old and under who lived in the area of Bethlehem to be killed. But we saw that God is in control. God was well aware of the murderous intent of Herod and instructed Joseph to take Mary and Jesus to Egypt. God is preserving. God is guiding the young family. God is a God who watches over us, a God who is active in our lives. Despite the opposition of evil, God is totally in control. Isn't that encouraging?
So here we are, Matthew 2, verse 13. Now when they, the wise men, had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Rise, take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him." And he rose and took the child and his mother by night and departed to Egypt and remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet, "Out of Egypt I called my son." And so Egypt, in God's prophetic program, has a special place, because Egypt gave safety to the Messiah. God preserving the Messiah. Now let's read verses 16 through 18. Then Herod, when he saw that he had been tricked by the wise men, became furious, and he sent and killed, listen to this, all the male children in Bethlehem and in all that region which were 2 years old or under, according to the time that he had ascertained from the wise men. This was fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet Jeremiah. "A voice was heard in Ramah, weeping and loud lamentation, Rachel weeping for her children. She refused to be comforted because they are no more." Now, Matthew 2, verse 18 is a quotation from Jeremiah 31. Can you turn there in your Bible if you can find it? Jeremiah 31, verse 15. Thus says the Lord, "A voice is heard in Ramah, lamentation and bitter weeping. Rachel is weeping for her children. She refuses to be comforted for her children because they are no more. Keep your voice from weeping and your eyes from tears, for there is a reward for your work, declares the Lord, and they shall come back from the land of the enemy. There is hope for your future, declares the Lord." Now, what's the context, the original context of Jeremiah 31? The context of Jeremiah 31 is that the commander of Nebuchadnezzar's army, Babylon at this time is the superpower, and they are conquering Israel under their great king, Nebuchadnezzar. And what do? They round up their captives, and many of them are rounded up at Ramah, which is just north of Jerusalem, before taking them in chains to Babylon. And so Matthew is quoting from Jeremiah 31, referring to Rachel, who's buried near Ramah, a woman who knew tears. Hannah also knew tears. and that they are weeping over what happened to the people of God as they're taken into captivity by Babylon. Can you imagine if you're a mother and your son is taken captive by Babylon? You're left in Israel and he is marched off. So Matthew, in this intriguing way, applies the weeping by mothers at the Babylonian captivity to the weeping and mourning of the mothers of the little boys in Bethlehem who are killed by Herod. Interesting way to use scripture, isn't it? But although there is mourning, as there was in Jeremiah chapter 31, in Jeremiah 31, I read a little bit ahead and went a couple of verses further than Matthew does, where the Lord says that Israel has a hope, Israel has a future. Yes, there is a future of the new covenant. And although there is mourning in Bethlehem, the Messiah has been preserved under the guiding hand of God. Yes, there's weeping, but there is a hope for Israel. There's a hope for the world because the Messiah has been preserved. Herod and Satan himself, as they try to stamp out the Savior of the world, God preserves, God guides. There's weeping, as there was weeping in Jeremiah chapter 31, but in Jeremiah 31, there is the great promise of the new covenant. You can read about it in Hebrews chapters 8 and 10. You see, when we follow Jesus Christ, we are assured not only of his preservation, but we're also assured of his guidance. I think there's many of us who worry and fret about the future. Don't do that. Don't worry and fret about God's guidance. God loves you. He's watching over you, and he will guide you. Proverbs 16, verse 9, the heart of a man plans his way, but the Lord establishes his steps. The Lord is a way ahead of you. The Lord knows that difficult situation you have at work. The Lord knows that difficult family situation, that personal situation. And that problem we may face as a church, the Lord is a way ahead of us. He preserves us. He guides us. This is why we follow our Lord. First, God preserves. Second, God guides. Third, God accomplishes his purposes. Verses 19 through 23. Verse 19. But when Herod died, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, "Rise, take the child and his mother and go to the land of Israel, for those who sought the child's life are dead." And he arose and took the child and his mother and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning over Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. And being warned in a dream, his fourth one, he withdrew to the district of Galilee, and he went and lived in a city called Nazareth, so that what was spoken by the prophets might be fulfilled, that he would be called a Nazarene. Herod dies, and after the death of Herod, the angel of the Lord appears again to Joseph in a dream, directing him to take Jesus and Mary back to Israel. We don't know how long they were in Egypt. From our knowledge of the time of Herod's death, it may have just been a matter of months, almost certainly less than a year. Herod dies, his son Archelaus is reigning over Judea, which included Bethlehem. But we again see God's preservation. We again see God being well ahead of the situation. And he warns Joseph in another dream not to go to Judea. Archelaus is there. The Messiah may still be in danger. Go to Galilee. And so Joseph and Mary and Jesus travel north to Nazareth, Nazareth being in the north of Israel. You'll recall that Mary and Joseph came from Nazareth. This was their hometown. They had journeyed from Nazareth to Bethlehem before Jesus was born to register for the census. Jesus is born in Bethlehem. Then the Lord had guided them to Egypt, and now he was directing them back to Nazareth. Can I say the obvious? We need to be reminded of it. God's purposes are always fulfilled. Can I say that again? God's purposes are always fulfilled, and the Messiah is preserved. Now, what about the Old Testament fulfillment here in, at the end of verse 23? He went and lived in a city called Nazareth, so that what was spoken by the prophets might be fulfilled, that he would be called a Nazarene. This is a bit perplexing, because unlike verses 15 and 18, verse 23 is not a direct quote from any of the prophets. We know verse 15 is a direct quote from Hosea 11, verse 1. We know that verse 18 is a quote from Jeremiah 31, verse 15. But where do the prophets say that Jesus would be called a Nazarene? If you can show me that text, I would be very, very appreciative. And notice, Matthew says, so that what was spoken not by the prophet, one prophet was Isaiah, second prophet is Jeremiah, he says spoken by the prophets, plural. And nowhere in the Old Testament is it said that Jesus would be called a Nazarene. Now don't confuse a Nazarite, such was Samson, the Nazarite vow, with Nazarene. A Nazarene is someone who is brought up in Nazareth. So what's going on here? The answer is we're not really sure. At least I'm not very sure. But we do know that Nazareth was sort of looked down on. There are certain places that are kind of looked down on as rather unsophisticated, provincial, and then perhaps despised. That was Nazareth. You remember the man called Nathanael in John chapter 1? The question is asked, can anything good come from Nazareth? I mean, how would you expect something good to come from Nazareth? It's unsophisticated, it's provincial. We look down on it, it's sort of despised. But isn't it interesting that the King of Kings and Lord of Lords grew up not in Jerusalem where there was the temple, not in Bethlehem. He was born in Bethlehem, but he didn't grow up in Bethlehem. Bethlehem was the city of David. It was David's hometown. No, the Lord of Glory, the Creator of the heavens and the earth, is raised in this town, this city called Nazareth, that at least by the contemporaries was regarded as rather despised. Lowly Nazareth. You get the point? But who were the prophets Matthew refers to? Well, regarding the coming Messiah, Isaiah had prophesied in Isaiah 11, verse 1, there shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse. Who's Jesse? Jesse is David's father. There shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse. Hebrew for shoot there is Nazir. And Matthew may have been making a play on words, Nazir, Nazareth. And the Messiah, when he's going to come, is coming from a mere shoot, from the stump of Jesse. Here's another scripture. Thus says the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel and his Holy One, to one deeply despised, abhorred by the nation, the servant of rulers. Isaiah 47, verse 49, verse 7. And then Isaiah 52, verses 2 and 3. He grew up before him. This is the prophecy regarding the coming Messiah. Like a young plant and like a root out of dry ground. He had no form or majesty that we should look at him, and no beauty that we should desire him. He was despised. This is the Messiah. He was despised and rejected by man, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and as one from whom men hide their faces. He was despised and we esteemed him not. So Jesus came as the despised servant. Growing up in relative obscurity, not in the surrounding of the temple, not even in Bethlehem, not in some of the bigger cities, but this rather northern city, not particularly cultured possibly, looked down on by others, and it is there that our God, Emmanuel, grows up. Can we say, isn't that what our God is like? He comes to the lowly. He comes to the poor. he who is the greatest becomes the lowest. Says Paul, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he were rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might become rich. No one is higher, no one goes lower than our Lord Jesus Christ. He's called a Nazarene. Aren't these verses fascinating? I find them so. Praise God for the fulfillment of the Old Testament prophecies regarding Messiah. I'm thankful that Matthew knew his Old Testament. Of course, he's writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. We know that. But I'm so thankful that Matthew quotes these Old Testament scriptures to emphasize that God's promises and his prophecies will always be fulfilled. And notice how our great sovereign God always accomplishes his purposes. God, not man, is in control of all human history. I think sometimes as followers of Jesus Christ, we forget that. Our emotions go up and down depending on who's the president, what the United States does, what Iran does, or any other country does. And yes, we are to be interested and we should be concerned and take an interest in our world, but we know this, that at the center of the universe is not the United Nations, is not the president of the United States, is not China or Putin, but is our Lord Jesus Christ, and he is working all things to the counsel of his will. Now, if you believe that, as I know many of you do, don't oppose God. You say, oh, I've never opposed God, wouldn't you? Peter said that God gives grace to the humble, but God is opposed to the proud. Are you proud? Proud of your achievements? You'll run your own life, you'll do your own thing. Oh, you won't say that way, but in actuality, you don't like anyone telling you what to do. Be very, very careful. Don't oppose God. You will fail. God's faithfulness and preservation are at work centuries ahead of us. These Old Testament scriptures were written centuries ago, and now they reach their perfect fulfillment in this lowly boy, young man from Nazareth. Despised Nazareth. Despised and rejected by men. And the forces of darkness and Satan are utterly opposed to God, his righteousness, his kingdom, and our Lord Jesus Christ. There are still evil Herods, still slaughtering innocent babies still in the womb. Followers of Jesus throughout the world are still opposed, ridiculed, despised. But Job says, chapter 42, verse 2, I know that you can do all things, and that no purpose of yours can be thwarted. You hear that? God can do all things. No purpose of God's can be thwarted. Don't oppose God. Don't stand up against God. Don't think that you know better. Be humble, lowly. Follow the humble Christ who says, come to me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you'll find rest for your soul. If you want to live a life of rest and to know that peace which passes all understanding, quietly submit to the purposes of God in your life. Our great God works all things, says Paul, according to the counsel of his will. Love the Savior, worship him, obey him instantly and humbly, and you will see God at work in your life. God's purposes are always accomplished. Today's message, I hope, gives you comfort and hope. God will preserve you. God will guide you. God's purposes will be accomplished in you. Keep your trust in the Lord. The just shall live by faith. Daily, will you do this? Ask God for wisdom. Ask God for strength. Ask God for protection. Ask God for guidance. When you have that difficult situation, as you meet that difficult person at work, when you get together with that family member or that other person that rubs you the wrong way or you can't cope, ask God humbly to help you. Obey King Jesus. As many of you know, it's traditional for the monarch of the United Kingdom to give a Christmas Day broadcast. Her Majesty Queen Elizabeth II gave a broadcast on Christmas Day, as the monarchs have done for many, many years. On Christmas Day, 1939, Great Britain was at war. London was being bombed. Hitler and the Third Reich seemed unstoppable. And the monarch at that time was our present Queen's father, George VI. And he finished his broadcast on Christmas Day, 1939, by quoting a poem, the words of Minnie Louise Haskins, The Gate of the Year. And here it is. And I said to the man who stood at the gate of the year, "Give me a light that I may tread safely into the unknown." And he replied, "Go out into the darkness and put your hand into the hand of God. That shall be to you better than light and safer than a known way." How wise. If you're like me, you like to know what's going to go ahead. And God is saying, "No, I want you to live by faith. And as you step out, it may appear to be dark, but in fact, you're stepping into the light if you're in the hand of Christ, who gives us eternal life, and we shall never perish, and no one shall snatch us out of the hand of our Lord Jesus Christ or out of the Father's hand. None of us know what a new year will bring, but with our hand in the hand of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, there is nothing to fear. The God who preserved his Son is the same God who preserves his sons and daughters who have been redeemed by his precious blood. He will watch over us. He will care for us. He will guide us. And all of the forces of darkness, however strong they are against us, they will not overwhelm us. So we're strong and we're courageous, not in our own strength, but in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Our Father and our God, we thank you that you're a God who preserves, a God who goes ahead of us, a God who guides us, a God who always accomplishes your purposes. Help us not to question them. Strengthen our faith, Father. Help us to be strong and courageous in the Lord. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
You're listening to The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe and the second half of a message titled The Flight. Have you ever wondered whether or not salvation can be lost or what it really means to be saved in the first place? You're not alone. Start 2022 knowing the personal assurance you can have in Christ and better understand God's promises. To help you address your important questions and to find real answers in the Word of God, John recently wrote a new booklet titled Eternal Security, Finding Certainty in a Chaotic World. He shares a bit of his own testimony and does a careful examination of Scripture to help you grapple with your own doubts or questions and better understand the nature and depth of our salvation. This booklet is completely free by mail or download. Just visit our website at calvarychurch.com/theverdict. Be sure to also sign up for our monthly email list to get personal ministry updates from John. Before we close, we invite you to play a part in this new year by sharing these daily gospel messages. Your generous contributions will help us give the gift of God's Word to new listeners around the world. You can donate whatever amount God leads you to give by visiting our website today at calvarychurch.com/theverdict. And if you haven't already, be sure to subscribe to our daily podcast. Just open your favorite podcast app, search for The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe, and click subscribe to get these messages downloaded automatically each week. Now, with closing remarks, here's Pastor John Monroe.
Well, what's your verdict? What's your expectation for the new year? Are you excited? Do you have a feeling of deja vu? Are you fearful? Whatever your emotions, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, there's nothing to fear. God has ways for you, magnificent ways, as you trust Him and submit to His guidance. As you prepare for the beginning of a new year, I want you to experience the joy of the Lord and His blessings. Next time, I present a special challenge as we approach 2022.
Thanks for joining us today on The Verdict. I'm Michelle Davies. Today's program with Pastor John Monroe was produced and sponsored by Calvary Church in Charlotte, North Carolina.